confess our sins unto God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for Fifth Sunday in Apostles' Tide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, in the 18th chapter. And then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are within it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." And then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." And he answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods I sing your praise.
I bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased.
All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord.
For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the second chapter. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all of our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This is, he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of the angels, going on in details about visions puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, don't bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I hope for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus says, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened." This is our text. You have to be willing to make the direct, audacious ask. You have to be willing to make the direct, audacious ask. That's an idea that you could put into practice. Why not ask? I mean, really. Is there a downside to asking? Sure, you might get no for an answer, or not yet. But you'll never get yes unless you ask. And please don't preface it by saying, "You're probably going to say no, but I wanted to ask you anyway." Don't do that. That sounds like manipulation. Just ask. The writer and consultant Aaron Wren calls the direct, audacious ask a practical, actionable idea. It's something you can do. And I'm sure that there are countless ways that we could put this into practice in our own daily lives, including at home, at work, and elsewhere. Good communication involves asking. We can't read each other's minds. Asking is certainly better than assuming, or stewing, or living in resignation, or trying to drop hints, or waiting for the other person to figure it out on their own. For my own part, I'll just be honest here, I don't think I'm very good at asking, and I'd like to get better at it. Even the direct, audacious ask. Now, I want to take this idea of the direct, audacious ask and first consider one recent example from our church life, and then I want to move into how this applies with prayer. As I mentioned at the beginning of service, and I know some have come a little later, today we're celebrating with six of our youth, Alexa, Pepper, Simeon, Caitlin, Megan, and Lana, as they receive their first Holy Communion. It's a really big day for them, for their families, and for us. They've been preparing for this through classes at church and study and discussion at home. But it might not be happening today if someone hadn't been so bold as to ask. Or I should say, if someone's hadn't asked. I don't remember the first time, but I can say for a fact that my son Simeon had been asking about Holy Communion and about the communion class for months, maybe even a year or more before we started on March 30th. There were a couple of other parents as well, and their children who asked too. And what a beautiful thing to ask for, that these youth were asking for the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing to desire the forgiveness that he offers here. So to you six, I want to say, ask, and today you receive. Those who receive Holy Communion here at Our Savior are first taught and examined and then brought through confession and absolution. We take this gift really seriously. We believe what the Bible says about Holy Communion and what Jesus says when he says, "This is my body, this is my blood." It's a powerful gift, powerfully good for those who believe, and yet a powerful judgment for those who are unprepared. It also expresses the unity in the faith. And what this means for many of you today who are guests and visitors is this. We want to be united with you in the faith. And we sincerely desire to enjoy this precious gift together with you. And if you desire the same, then simply ask. And I'd be delighted to talk with you, to teach you, to examine and absolve you with Christ's forgiveness. And in the meantime, you are welcome to come forward with your arms crossed over your chest for a blessing. Now for the second part, how this direct, audacious ask applies to prayer. As helpful as asking can be in our earthly relationships, and it is so important in our earthly relationships, our gospel reading takes this into a higher key. It starts with a direct, audacious ask from one of Jesus' disciples. Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. I love how direct this disciple is, how bold. There's a request for us. He sees Jesus kneeling in prayer, and he says, I want that. So how are you going to get it? Ask. If we want to know how to ask, then ask Jesus for help. If we want to know how to pray, then start with this prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, we might think that prayer is a natural, inborn part of how we human creatures were made. And I'd say yes and no. Yes, human beings have a deep, natural sense that there's a higher power out there of some sort. And we sort of know how to pray, but not really. Not like Jesus prays. Because in our fallen state, we don't know the true God, and we don't know how to speak with him. We do know some things. We know how to make a show of praying to be seen by others. We know how to heap up empty phrases, thinking that we will be heard for our many words. But by nature, we don't know how to pray as dear children asking a dear Father. We can only learn that from Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And this is what Jesus teaches. He says, when you pray, say, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. I'm sure you recognize these words as a version of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. This is Luke's version. Matthew is the one who gives us the version that we pray every Sunday. But the gist is the same. So when they say, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus puts the direct, audacious ask right into their mouths. What are we to ask for? For God's name to be holy among us. For God's kingdom to come to us also. For daily bread, the support and needs of our bodies, and for the forgiveness of sins, the support and needs of our souls. And for help in the midst of temptation. For those five things, Jesus simply says, do it. Ask. Put your request before the Father, his Father, who is now our Father as well. But how can we ask? We know our sin. It's ever before us. We know how weak our faith is. We're reminded of it on a daily basis. How can we, I, you, be so bold as to approach the throne room of God the Father? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus was so bold, direct, and audacious, both in what he asked and in what he did. Consider this direct, audacious ask as he's being crucified, hanging there, bleeding and dying, spikes in his wrists, a crown of thorns on his head, flayed in his back and his front. And he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that an amazing prayer or what? Direct, audacious, and do you remember who he was praying for? He was praying for those who nailed him to the cross. He was praying for those whose sins put him there. He was praying for us. And he was so bold as to offer his own life for us, giving his holy body and his precious blood on the cross. He was so bold to ask his Father to hear our prayers as if they come from him. He's not ashamed to call us his brothers. And he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven, which means that our older brother is seated at the right hand of the Father, which means that we've got a direct line. If we don't make the direct, audacious ask, what are we thinking? Why wouldn't we, when Jesus has promised to take our prayers and bring them before his Father? Our prayers for what? Jesus told this little parable. I mean, it's delightful, though a little bit unwieldy in terms of the way it's translated. But he talks about a man who has a friend that comes to visit him. So you have a friend who comes to visit you and says, hey, I need a little help. Here's what I'm going through in my life. And you open your cupboard and you realize that you've got nothing to help them. So what do? You go knock on your neighbor's door. You say to your neighbor, hey, a friend showed up and I've got nothing to give him. Can you spare something for me? And even if it's the middle of the night, because you keep pounding, not because the neighbor loves you, but just to make you go away, he'll toss a loaf of bread out the window to you so you can share it with your friend. It's kind of a funny little story that Jesus tells, and this is the way I picture it. Someone comes to you, and they have a need. They've got cancer. Their marriage is falling apart. Money is running tight. And you open your cupboard, and you discover that you have no cure for cancer, nothing that you can do to make their marriage succeed, and not enough money to float them alone. So what do? You knock on the door of heaven. You turn to the one who has everything. You take your neighbor's needs to your Father and you say, look, I've got nothing, but I know that you've got what they need. You can be bold, direct, and audacious in your asking. Even when your cupboard is bare, you know the one who made everything. So just go ahead and bring that need through Christ to him. And that's what Abraham did in our Old Testament reading. It's a little snapshot from Genesis 18 of what's going to happen. The angel of the Lord looks down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and talks about the judgment that is coming. And Abraham is distressed because that's where his nephew and his nephew's family live. And so Abraham asks, hey God, you know, if there are 50 people down there who are believing, 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, you're not gonna destroy it then, will you? And he says, no. Then Abraham says, well, what if there's just 45? You're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And God says, no. And Abraham keeps going, well, how about 30? How about 20? And if I may be so bold, he says, if there are only 10 righteous souls, will you spare them? And God says, go away. No. He says, yes, I will spare them. Abraham is bold to ask exactly what he desires. And although there were not 10 righteous people, God did rescue Lot and his wife and his daughters out of those cities.
Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be opened. So the first question, and maybe I'll remember to ask this when it comes to pastoral care. First question should be, have you asked? I mean, really, have you asked? Whatever it is that's on your heart and your mind, whatever need you have in your own life or you see in the life of someone near you, have you asked him? I don't mean so much with like a blank check, God help me win the lotto or something like that. It's not just God being a doting grandfather saying, oh, you can have whatever you want. But with faith in Jesus, we can be bold in our requests. So don't hold back. And yeah, maybe it'll be a little bit silly what we ask. Maybe it's not something that would be good for me. He'll know. He's not going to answer a prayer that's going to harm you. I promise you that. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your father, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I think this is the greatest surprise of all to me. In this whole long section about prayer, Jesus tells us that we are to ask for the Holy Spirit. He is the answer to our prayers. The Holy Spirit is the one who alone, through God's word, creates faith that we would believe in Jesus and strengthens that faith in us. That's what he's been doing in our 6 young people through their classes. And the Holy Spirit brings with him the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you can't find something in that list that you need, for which you can ask your Father in heaven, then either you're a saint, or you haven't looked closely enough. Ask, and it will be given to you. And here's my ask now, direct and audacious of you, not so much our guests and visitors, though you're welcome to do this as well, but for our members. Here's my ask of you. I ask you to pray daily for me, for us, and for our congregation. Pray that the word would sound forth from here into our communities and our surrounding area. Pray about this idea that's bounced around a little bit in our semi-annual meeting about a church planting or a preaching station, or how do we make Christ known. Pray for faithfulness for me in my work. Pray that other beloved sinners would kneel with us and receive his grace and mercy. Husbands and wives, parents and children, individuals, pray. And what if you've never prayed before? Just say this: Lord, teach us to pray. And make your direct, audacious ask. For the one who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Don't take my word for it. Take Jesus. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
You may be seated as I invite forward Alexa, Pepper, Simeon, Caitlin, Megan, and Lana, their parents, and if there are any godparents, you are welcome to come forward as well. I'll have the young people stand in front. Beloved in the Lord, in holy baptism, Alexa, Pepper, Simeon, Caitlin, Megan, and Lana were born again as God's children and received into his church. As a further gift of his love for us, our Lord Jesus Christ has given his church the sacrament of the altar and invites his children to receive this sacrament in faith for the forgiveness of their sins. The Apostle Paul reminds us, let a person examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. These youth have received instruction and have been examined by the pastor regarding their sin and their understanding of the sacrament of the altar. To the six of you, you are about to be admitted to the Lord's table. Holy Scripture describes the life of the church and every baptized Christian with these words. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. You are invited by the Lord to come regularly to hear his word and receive his sacrament. You will continue to be instructed and nurtured in the Christian faith and life. You are invited to confess your sins and receive the comfort of holy absolution. All this will help you live as the child of God you have been made through holy baptism. In testimony of this faith and confession, I now ask you, do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Spirit? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is your Lord? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that you are a sinner? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and shed his blood for you on the cross for the forgiveness of all your sins? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that in the Lord's Supper, he gives you his true body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins and to strengthen your faith in him and your love toward others? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you intend to continue to hear and receive the word of your Lord, confess your sins, and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully throughout your lives? Then say, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
I therefore invite you to the Lord's Supper to receive Christ's precious body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I now address the parents, godparents, and the entire congregation. The whole church shares with you the responsibility and concern for the ongoing instruction and spiritual care of these young people. I now ask you, will you intercede for them in prayer? And as much as you are able, give them your counsel and aid, that in communion with the church, they may grow up to lead godly lives to the praise and honor of Jesus Christ. Then say, we will with the help of God.
We will with the help of God.
Please stand. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose Son, Jesus Christ, loved the young and called them to himself, we ask you to bless Alexa, Pepper, Simeon, Caitlin, Megan, and Lana. Strengthen them in the faith through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, so that they may grow spiritually and bring forth the fruits of faith in lives of love toward others, to the praise and honor of your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We rejoice with thankful hearts in your confession. As you continue to hear the word of the Lord and receive his holy supper, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Peace be with you. You may return to your seats. We continue with the prayers. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For faith to offer our prayers and unburden our hearts from the weight of sin and trouble, and that we would live in the light of God's promises, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For pastors who embrace the honor and duty to lead the people of God in prayer, as we all offer our petitions in the name of Jesus, especially for the Reverend Wendolowski and the people of St. John's Lutheran Church, Westfield, for the blessing of the ministry in that place, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That all the families of the people of God would live in prayer and thus come to know the full blessing of God's fatherly care. And for the care of all expectant mothers and their little ones, especially Meg, Rachel, and Stephanie, and with thanksgiving for the birth of Tucker Bennett, and for him and his mother, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our nation to be a repentant and faithful place where wickedness is curbed and God's gracious presence is welcomed with thanksgiving, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the people of Texas who have been impacted by the flooding, that those who sorrow would receive consolation in Christ, those who are injured would be healed, and those who have suffered loss might be restored, and that our gifts might aid in this good work, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For prayerful hearts that leave all vengeance in the hands of God and trust his justice to preserve the righteous and vanquish the wicked, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who suffer, especially Richard on hospice care, Jim in his recovery, Anita in the frailty of old age and her healing, Scott on hospice care, Dave and Janet, George and Carol, Debbie, Lee, Jackie, Tamas, Audrey, Care2, Tiffany, and Dave, that God, who heard and considered the prayers of Abraham, would spare them and draw them ever closer to himself, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the good report received by Care2's grandson Henry, and for his continued good health, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For a child's confidence as we come to the Lord's table this day, that we might approach in sure and certain faith, so that in the gifts of Christ's body and blood, the forgiveness we ask for will be given, and the life we seek, we will find. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing and look to you as the giver of all good gifts. Make us ever eager to come to you in prayer and thanksgiving, as your Son has taught us. By your Holy Spirit, bring us to behold in Christ the fulfillment of those things for which we pray, your holy name, your coming kingdom, daily bread, forgiveness, shelter in temptation, and deliverance from every evil. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Our psalm today is Psalm 111, a psalm of thanks, starting at the first verse. He causes wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord of my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all, delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty, his work and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works and is giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have good understanding. His praise endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning,
thank you.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
God, for refreshing us with this healing gift, and we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and a deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Up his countenance upon you and give you peace.